talking and walking. There's a combination of the two, which is so important, so important. And then after that, we went into and talked about that you have been chosen of God. If you are a child of God, God has chosen you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that we're part of the family of God and we've been chosen? And the third thing, if we've been chosen, we've been sent. Yes, God has sent us out into the world to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the third one. The fourth one, we talked about kingdom builders. We talked about, and we're going to talk a little bit about that now, that we are in the process of building the kingdom of God, not on earth, but the heavenly kingdom. And then we finished off by talking about waiting on the Lord. Because in the first verses there, Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you get powered by the Holy Spirit. Now we're going down, if you'd like to open up to Acts chapter 1, verse 6, and we're going to see what God has for us here. We have four subjects, four topics that we're going to talk about. This morning there was five. Usually you only have three, but today we're going to have four subjects that we're going to look at. So if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to try to read this it'd be easier for me in Spanish or French, but we'll do it in English, and we'll go over it. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set these dates and times, but they are not for you to know. But, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judah, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up into the clouds while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to look him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood amongst them, men of Galilee. They said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. What has the Lord got in store for us in this chapter? I've been studying the Bible for over 50 years in five different languages. And you know, every time you read the scriptures, it's new to you. How many times have I read the scripture and say, wow, that fits my situation where I am right now. Thank you, Lord. And I might have read it 100 times. But we have the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk a lot about this morning. And the Holy Spirit is the person who encourages us. He's the one that helps us understand. And he will take this scripture, if you ask him to silently, and we're going to stop for a minute, and we're going to ask individually, privately, that the Holy Spirit will reveal this scripture to us and that it'll talk to us. So let's just stop for a second and close our eyes and ask the Lord to open this scripture to you that you might be a better person, a better Christian. Amen. Every morning when I wake up and my feet hit the floor, I say, Usame. Does anybody here know what that means, Usame? Use me, Lord. That's what I say every morning. And he does to the working of the Holy Spirit. So this morning we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit will come. Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8. And then we find the evidence of that in Acts chapter 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit came. He was promised, and he came. Then in Acts chapter 1, 5, and 8, the Holy Spirit will baptize them. That means he will immerse us into that Holy Spirit. And then we find the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurred in chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Then we have the power of the Holy Spirit was enabled them to witness it. In chapter 1, verse 8, which we're going to be talking about this morning, the Holy Spirit enabled them to witness. Because before the Holy Spirit had come, as I said this morning, the disciples were sort of afraid. They were hiding and they weren't out there. But after the Holy Spirit came, they had the energy, they had the power, they had the ability, and they had the aguantar. They mean they wanted to go out and serve the Lord. And then we find that Jesus will come again in the same way he ascended, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which we read. And Jesus will come again. We find that in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Father has fixed the time by his own authority for restoring the kingdom to Israel. And the Father will send Jesus, the Messiah, to restore of all things. So this is about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit because there's so much exaggeration. So here are my 4 points. We're going to talk about prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. We see prayer here. In the verses we read, we've seen prayer, and I'm going to try to show you from Scripture the importance of prayer. And then we're going to talk, of course, about Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is he the boss? Is he the most important person? Is he the one that guides you? Then we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about his ascension. So 4 points, and I hope that you'll be blessed by them. The first one is the apostles repeatedly asked about restoring of the kingdom to Israel. Notice that there. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him. Now, there's a lot of talk about this kept asking him idea. They were, they were bugging him? They were sort of hinchando, we say in Spanish, you know. They were sort of, when is it going to happen? Well, when is it going to happen? Day after day, it says they kept on. They repeatedly. So when the disciples with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? So they're together. They're with Jesus. Now, that's a very important point here. They spent a lot of time with Jesus. And Jesus wants us to spend time with him. And we can, if we want to spend time with him. The importance of spending not just 5 minutes here or 5 minutes there, but taking time in the morning and sitting down with your coffee or your tea and just spending time with Jesus. Are we spending enough time with Jesus? Are we feeding on his word? Are we praying? We're going to be talking about that. But here we find them repeatedly, they're with Jesus and they're talking to him. And this is so important, and it's wonderful that you're here. Do you realize that you're accomplishing what God wants you to do? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We are exhorted to meet together. So what you're doing now, I congratulate you. You could be at home in front of the television watching an evangelical program, which a lot of people are doing, which is not what the Bible says. It says that we are to meet together. You have a gift. I have a gift. And our gift is to help one another, to encourage one another. So that's good. So first thing we find in this thing, they repeatedly asked Jesus about that. They were with Jesus. So important. So important, you know. And the whole idea of walking with Jesus, those who walk with God always reach their destination. We are to be with God. We are to walk with God. We are to spend time with Jesus. Walking with God is a daily adventure. I mean, we spend so much time doing other things, but how much time are we spending walking with God? How much time? Because here we find the disciples with God, with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So that's an exhortation for me anyway, when I read this and I say, Lord, what is in this verse for me? What is there here? So when the disciples were with Jesus, They kept asking him, Lord. Now, that's very interesting what they say, Lord. Now, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Lord, it is at this time you will, Lord, is it at this time you will restore the kingdom? Now, notice, it wasn't if, but when. See, they knew prophecy. They knew the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament completed yet. The canon of the Holy Scriptures weren't completed yet. It was in the process. The Holy Spirit was working through the thing. But they knew that the kingdom was going to. So they weren't doubting God. That's very important. Because some people were going to feel that they were doing the wrong thing in asking God this particular question. Because they repeatedly asked them. But notice here, it wasn't if, but when. It says, when. Asked him, Lord, has the time come? When is the time coming? And that is so important. And I think we should keep that in mind. Asking Jesus, that is so important. Asking, do not let your heart be troubled. Ask Jesus. God wants us to ask him. They are asking Jesus. It's like prayer. We are to spend time in prayer. God wants us to spend time. See, God talks to us through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We talk to God by prayer. And God wants us to ask him. Do we spend the time in prayer? Are we spending enough time in prayer? Do you want to just check that, please, Ronald? Because, you know, Jesus has the answers to all of your needs. And that is so important. Jesus has the answer. So he wants us to ask him. He wants us to ask him. Jesus is the answer to our prayers. And that's important also. Jesus is the answer to our prayers. So ask God. Jesus has the answer, and Jesus is the answer. So we are to spend time in prayer. It says in the Word of God, pray without ceasing. Vernon McGee says this, you will find that some of the commentaries rebuke the apostles for asking this question. They feel that the apostle made a mistake. I don't believe that. I don't believe they made a mistake. Some people do, but Vernon McGee doesn't, because they weren't asking if, it was when. They weren't doubting God. They appreciated what Jesus told them. Jesus did not say, you fellows are incorrect in your eschatology. He didn't rebuke them. Notice there. And when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone, he doesn't rebuke them. We are to ask. Do you know, I prayed for my brother for 28 years, and finally he came to know the Lord. And the Lord never said to me, stop asking. Stop asking. You're asking me all the time. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not. We are to pray without ceasing. And the disciples kept asking, asking, asking. And we too are to keep asking, asking, asking. And notice also the disciple says, Lord. And that's so important. It says here in my version, Lord, has the time come? Lord means master. Lord means owner. Lord means mighty or power, possessor, the supreme one, one who is sovereign. Is the Lord Jesus sovereign in your life? Is he the supreme one? Is he the mighty one? Does he possess you? Is he your master? Is he your owner? The disciples, they used the right word here. They said, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel? The Word of God said, and he said to them, it is not for you to know time or epoch which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Some things God doesn't want us to know. There's things in the Bible that I don't understand. I'm looking forward to talking to Paul. Paul, what did you mean by this? Peter, I didn't understand this passage. If we knew it all, we would be God. And that was the problem in the Garden of Eden. They wanted to be like God. But we are to keep asking. And then as we read this, it talks about, and he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set these dates and time, and they are not for you to, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit What is he talking about? What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? This was the beginning of the church age. This was the beginning when the disciples received power. Power. We have the power in us. When you accepted the Lord Jesus, as I said this morning, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are full of the Holy Spirit. But now it's up to us to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace. We have those, that fruit in us. But we must allow that fruit to flow through us. And we do that by reading and studying the Word of God, by meeting together like we're doing this morning, by learning and using the gifts that God has given us. So we have that power. And that is so important. And each believer, there's some churches say you have to beg, you have to cry out asking for the, and some of our songs even gives us that impression. But dear friends, you have the Holy Spirit. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Am I allowing the power of the Holy Spirit? But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you shall be my witnesses. We are to be his witness through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, not myself. We say in French, I'm a bon rien. I'm not good for anything, but I'm good for everything in Christ, because I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. And if I allow that Holy Spirit to work through me, because he's in me, then I will have success. I like what one writer says, when we rely on organizations, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we get what God can do. And God is all powerful. If we're relying on the Holy Spirit, relying on God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, then we'll have the power. You know, the disciples wanted to talk about prophecy. He wanted to talk about proclamation. See, they wanted to know when was the kingdom, prophecy. They wanted to know when it's going to happen, what's going to, but Jesus didn't want to talk about that. He wanted to talk about the proclamation of the gospel. John Stott says, before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit into the church. The same order must be observed today. So first, before he sent the church out, the church, as I said this morning, is not these walls. You are the church. You are part of the body of Christ. You are his hands, your feet, his feet, his eyes. You are his. People will see you before they see him. But what we have to do is allow that to happen in our life. This whole passage concerns a person, a power, and a program. This passage, 5-6 verses. What is it? 6-12. Just a few verses. The Holy Spirit provides for believers guidance, good opportunity to witness, divine appointments, boldness in witnessing. He helps us. He gives us the words, but we must allow him to work through us. So the whole passage here is concerned about a person, a power, and a program. Now, what is the person? The person of Christ, on whose authority the church acts and who is the object of its witness. We are to talk about Jesus. We can talk about sports. We can talk about this. We can talk about other things. But let's talk about Jesus. Let's not be scared. I mean, even myself, when I'm witnessing today, it's always hard because Satan is there. But we have good evangelical literature that you can give out. We have books, we have websites we can share with people. You have a fantastic website here at 16th. How many times have you said to a friend, check it out. Check us out. Look on the internet, look on the website. That tells us our statement of faith, what we believe, and so on. So the person in this whole passage that we're talking about, the person is Jesus. What is the power? Well, the power is the Holy Spirit. Absolutely indispensable and essential for the mission. We have the power. Many people are out there witnessing. They have no power. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why you can see them standing at the sky trains. I've watched them for many, many times. I never see anybody go up there. I never see them talking to anybody. But you have the power. I've gone to many stations with the Gideon New Testament, given out the Gideon New Testament, and we have the power. We have the Word of God, and people take them, and people ask questions. So we've got to let that power work through us. And then the program that began at Jerusalem moves out to Judea, Samaria, and the extent to the ends of the earth. As you provide funds, as you pray for your missionaries, but the program begins here. It begins with you, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your friends, in your relatives. It's where you do your shopping. It's where you have your coffee. It's where you have your special moments with neighbors and relatives. We have the person. We have the power. We have the program. Are we a part of that program? Are we a part of God's program? I hope you are, because the Bible talks about that very distinctly. I like what a fella from Ontario had a relative from from Scotland, maybe from I don't know where in Scotland, but maybe. Anyway, this Scotchman was with this fellow from Ontario. He was from Aberdeen, this Scotchman. And they went to Niagara Falls. And now, I don't know, in Scotland, do you have big falls like that? Oh, you do? Not quite as big. Well, come to Argentina, they're 10 times bigger than that. But anyway, the fellow from Ontario said, look, this is the greatest power you can ever imagine. Look at all that water. Power, power, power. And the fellow from Aberdeen says, oh, no, my brother, not so, was his reply. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. Amen. We have the power, and we're not using it. The church is not using it in general. So every time you see beautiful falls like that, let's realize that the Holy Spirit is way more powerful than Niagara Falls or Iguazu Falls or any falls in the world. So here we have prophecy. We have prophecy here in Acts chapter 1, 6 and 7. We're going to read that. 6 and 7. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to see these dates and times, and they are not for you to know. This is prophecy. Our Lord did not rebuke the apostles, as I said. This is important because some people think they shouldn't have asked this question. Of course, they were thinking more of an earthly kingdom, but he doesn't rebuke them. Their doctrine was correct, and it was demonstrated faith in God's prophetic word, because God said he was going to, but it wasn't coming, the earthly kingdom wasn't coming then. Only he was the one who knew. Also, the Lord had extensive work for them to do before all the kingdom prophecies would be fulfilled. And we're in the process of establishing the kingdom of God spiritually. We're part of that building. And we said this morning, you and I, who have the Lord Jesus Christ, we are kingdom builders. So in this here, we have prophecy. But again, Jesus wasn't talking about prophecy. He was talking about proclamation. He wanted us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. And that was so important. So here we have prophecy. And as we go through this passage, we have the power. Verse 8. But when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, you will receive power. The order in which things happen is often significant. Many times knowing what should come first can spell the difference between success and failure. The order of event here is extremely significant for the success of the church mission of worldwide evangelism. First, we have salvation. We have the Holy Spirit. We wait on him. He shows us. Then we go out. I mean, this assembly is so exciting to see the way you dear brothers and sisters are working for the Lord. Keep it up. Keep it up. There's hundreds of people out there that need the gospel. Empowerment come before witnessing, and we have that power. So let's go out and witness. So first we had the prophecy. Now we're power. Now what's the purpose? The purpose. Power is available to all Christians, no matter where we serve, for the ministry of witnessing. We have the power. The focus of our witness is to be the person and work of Christ. However, just as individuals and churches can and do substitute for power of God, they can and sometimes substitute for the purpose of God. That is our purpose. Why do you have ESL here? The purpose, what is it? To bring men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, we would love people for their own good to learn English. I mean, you're living in Canada, you live in Vancouver, it's good to have it, that's good. But the purpose of 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, of course, is that we will learn about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. There's one way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no way to get to God but through Jesus. It says in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that power. The Father promised us, and God cannot lie. We have it. Now we have to use that power. And we find in the New Testament over and over and over again the people with that power and how they change lives. I've seen it at Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. I've seen it in at least 75 different countries I've been to, how the Holy Spirit works through men and women like you, telling people about Jesus and people coming to know Jesus. And I've seen healings. I've seen so many wonderful things because they know about the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit, but we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work through our life. We have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Christ promises the apostles a baptism into the Holy Spirit, which John himself had promised in Matthew 3:11. The promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down. We used to say this, Jesus, be Jesus in me. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. If you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the power. And the way to get Jesus is just to confess. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what it said. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. But once we come to the realization that Jesus died for us, he took your sins. As I said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus be Jesus in me. Jesus be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus be Jesus in me. Now we have the power. You've got to say that. We have the power. We've got the power. But we must allow that power to work through us and use us. Now, why? Why do I say this is the need for the hour? Why am I up here excited about the Holy Spirit? Why? I'll tell you exactly why. Because without the Spirit, there is no conviction. And I'm asking God right now through the working of the Holy Spirit to convict you and me of the sin in our lives. And we who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you've never prayed the prayer and asked him to come into your life, you can ask the Lord, forgive me of my sins. I thank you, Lord, for taking the sins on the cross of Calvary for my sins. Without the Spirit, there is no conviction. One lady came up to me today. I won't name her. She says she's witnessed to many different people giving her testimony. And I love this lady. She's a lovely lady in your congregation here. She said, I haven't seen anybody come to know Jesus. You know what I told her? Noah preached for 120 years and no one came to know her. It's not our job to convert the person. We can't do that. Our job is to witness. Punto. That's it. Sometimes I feel like grabbing a person, shaking them, and shake Jesus into them. But that won't help. If the Holy Spirit's not in the process, but we are to witness. So don't stop witnessing. It doesn't matter if you haven't led one or two or three. If you have led nobody to the Lord, that's not your job. Your job is to witness. I didn't hear any amen, but anyway, I believe that with all the Spirit, there will be no conversions. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit in you. I'm talking the Holy Spirit in the person you're witnessing to. I give out hundreds of tracts. I give out thousands and thousands of Gideon New Testament. 250,000 in Quebec alone. 250,000. I never see one person come to know the Lord. I mean, I just give them so I don't see. But those Bibles are in the home of 250,000 people in the Belle Province of Quebec. I was on a cruise recently, and I took a special Bible, leather Bible, nice leather Bible, you know, and on these cruises, you always have that night. Any of you been on cruises? Yeah, good. Well, you get that, you meet the captain. So here I am with my wife all dolled up and, you know, and I have this nice Gideon leather-bound Bible. And inside, I wrote to Captain so-and-so. So when I'm in the lineup and the photographer's there, and you know, I gave him the Bible. And he looked at the Bible, this was just 2 months ago. He looked at the Bible, he looked at me, he said, thank you very much. And then I went off. Well, the next day I found that Bible in my stateroom. Oh, I was disappointed. I said, God, not that it cost me $15, $20 the Bible, it's just the sense of failure. And I said to my wife, I'm going to go see the captain. He could have at least said thank you, but no thank you. And I was upset, which is wrong. She said, calm down, wait. Take it easy, whoa. So the next day I get a phone call from the customer service. Hello, is this Dr. Edgecombe? I said, yes. Well, there's been a mistake. Oh, well, what did I do? She said, no, you gave a Bible to the captain. And if you realize, he was getting pictures taken with all the passengers, and he passed the Bible to an aide, to somebody helping him, and that person looked at the Bible and saw your name in it, and they took it to your stateroom, and the captain's looking for that Bible. Oh, was I happy. Was I happy. But see, it could have been rejected, but that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to give the Bible. So don't get upset if you don't see conversions. But without the Spirit, there is no conviction. Without the Spirit, there is no spiritual growth. See, you have the Holy Spirit, so you should grow. It says here in the Bible, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow. That's why we have the Bible. To grow. Without the Scripture, what's the last one there? I went too fast, but that's okay. Without the Spirit, all preaching and witness is in vain. We need the Spirit, and we have the Spirit, so let's allow Him. Then we have the ascension. The Son's reception into the clouds was, in a sense, a sight of the Father's approval. It was a divine homecoming. Can you imagine the Father and the Son meeting together? After 33 years and all the troubles and testings and trials. And He's coming back. Jesus is coming back for His church. He's coming back for you and I who know and love Him. And we have the assurance of that. You know, the angels give prophecy of Jesus' second coming. Clearly, the Spirit of Christ wants to keep his glorious return on our radar. He wants us to think about that. That's why we have it here. He said, I'm coming again. He said it. The angel said, the same Jesus which you see going up is coming back. And my question for you, are you ready? Why do you stay looking in the, stand looking into the sky? This wasn't a rebuke. Why? He said, the same Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? The wonderful, the promise of a wonderful reunion. Perhaps today. Jesus might come back today. Are you ready? Can you honestly say, even so, come, Lord Jesus? First, you have to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And then you can say, yes, come. I'm going to be putting away my computer and stuff like that after. Come and talk to me about it if you want to. Because perhaps today, Jesus is coming. And if you're not ready, he's coming. He's going to return. Jesus is going to return. Jesus is going to return. Jesus is coming. Wake up, shape up, and clean up. I like that. Wake up. Wake up to the realization that you have to accept Jesus. Wake up, shape up, and clean up your act. Yes? Beware. Be ready. Be ready. Jesus is coming. I trust that this little study of these few verses help you. Four things. That's all there is there. Four things that you can get your practical thinking into. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep asking Jesus. Don't give up. The disciples didn't. Jesus is Lord. Is he the Lord of your life? The power of the Holy Spirit. You have the power. And Jesus is coming again. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. And we thank you, Lord, that it's so practical and wonderful to be able to read it and to study it and to apply it in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, and we just pray that each person here might accept your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. And by accepting Jesus, we know they will receive the Holy Spirit in them. And all of us who know you and love you, Heavenly Father, may you be the Lord of our life, not just the Savior of our life. And may we realize that we have power and that we are to use that power for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Any questions after? Just come and see me. I'd be more than happy to try to answer them. If I can't answer them, I will study it and get back to you.